This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
He's at Termini Radio. Justin Termini, SiriusXM NBA Today on NBA Radio on SiriusXM. By the way, we're giving away Cavs tickets coming up at 9 o'clock. Justin, how the hell are you?
Well, just let me say, based off the traffic report you just gave, I think you do a better job with the traffic than you do the sports. So you should probably maybe switch gears a little bit because you deliver that smoothly.
Nice little gag you played there, smart ass. I started out as a traffic reporter. Thank you very much.
Little did you know,
Justin. And people
thought
my last name was just a fake name for traffic reporting. I go, no, that's my real last name.
That's exactly. Better served. God was trying to tell you. He was trying to push you in that direction. He didn't name you a sportsman. He named you a carbon.
See, I've defied God by doing this. Some people would say talent on loan. But that was another. Anyway, Justin, first off, we've got to start, obviously, with the Cavs. Are there any problems with the Cavs that have reared their ugly head during their four-game losing streak that now won two in a row? But were there any ugly things that reared their head that we didn't know before the season about the Cavs and what problems they may have?
I don't know about before the season, but I mean, I think the direction of your two guys in the backcourt, right, and Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell, you'd like to see them a little bit more efficient. I think it is concerning that, their shooting splits, especially from three, have dipped here over the last couple of weeks, if not the last couple of months, in Garland's case. And that's something where I don't think that impacts your, like, first round. Doesn't impact your second round, but once you're playing the Celtics, you're playing the Thunder, whoever comes out of the Western Conference, those guys got to be on their game. They can't be playing how they played, at least from a shooting perspective, over the last couple of months. I don't know if you guys agree with that, but again, I think it's something you're safe in the first round, second round, not once you play Boston.
I think that that's a very strong possibility. Let me ask you this, though. We've asked the pressure question to death, but I have to ask you this. Who has more pressure on them in the backcourt? From the public's perspective, from the media perspective, would it be Darius Garland or Donovan Mitchell?
I think from a national perspective, it's easily Donovan Mitchell, right? Because now he's got the number one seed. He's never been conference finals. He's probably going to make, like, first team all NBA. He's probably going to get a bunch of MVP votes. So if you get that type of stuff and then you don't produce and get out of the second round, get to the NBA finals, then I think you take a little bit of heat, just as in the past a guy like Jason Tatum has prior to him breaking through and finally winning the thing.
All right, Justin, we know that numbers get a little crazy this time of year, especially in March. Now, it's been a two-month drop-off for Darius, who did play well last night, had a nice fourth quarter. But for him and Donovan, they have both struggled mightily. But then I look and it's like, hey, Josh Giddey in that same time span has some of the best point guard numbers in the entire NBA. So what do we really make of what happens here, you know, February on in the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult because, like, you brought up one Bull and Josh Giddey. I'll bring up another one in Kobe White. Like, he's going to win probably Player of the Month. He's won Player of the Week two consecutive weeks. Is that a guy that's going to win that award maybe in, you know, February? Is he going to win that award in, you know, December when everybody's a little bit more locked in? It's difficult because Cleveland – but I would say this. Like, it's not like Cleveland doesn't have anything to play for. Like, I think it's a massive failure here over the last week plus to lose out home court advantage in the NBA Finals if they're to meet the Thunder, because they're two young teams. You get a Game 7. Do you really want, you know, some of your young players on the road in the Game 7? And you also saw what happened during the regular season when they got blown out in Oklahoma City, but they won the game in Cleveland. So I don't think there should have been a lack of focus.
Hold on, Justin. I think that's very interesting. Because we haven't talked a lot about that. You think they should have been prioritizing number one overall seed over making sure that guys are healthy and not running guys into the ground?
No. I said that I think it is something. Like, it's not number one on the list. I think number one on the list is the health of everybody. But I think Kenny Atkinson's done a good job of not running these guys into the ground all season long. I mean, it's not like they're the Knicks where there's been a big talk about the minutes. It's not like they're the Celtics even, who played deep into June, had a bunch of guys going overseas to play in the Olympics, then had to go overseas again in the preseason, and then, you know, are playing Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum 35-plus minutes. So I don't think he has run the guys into the ground, and I think it was at least something that you want to hold on to that spot, especially as a young team that hasn't done it before. So I think that's big if you need Oklahoma City in the finals. Do you think it's not a big deal? I think it's significant.
Absolutely. I do think it's a big deal. However, in the same vein, you got to get there to begin with. And what we didn't need was a repeat of last year where Donovan Mitchell was limping into the postseason, because then you got no shot.
Yeah, and I also think, like, this is maybe a little bit of, you know, going back to the pressure thing that you just asked me. Like, I think if you win 67, 68, 69 games, you really don't have an excuse to, like, it's embarrassing if you lose in the postseason. By losing these four games recently, maybe you get to 65. You don't get, like, historically crushed for not winning, and it kind of gives people's, you know, it takes people's hopes down a little bit, their expectations, where they're going to go, oh, yeah, Boston's like the legitimate favor here. Whereas if you win 68, 69 games and then you end up losing to Boston, I think maybe you take a little bit more heat. So maybe externally, you know, it's a positive in that light. I don't know.
Justin Termini joining us, SiriusXM NBA Radio. Well, Justin, I've always kind of, as staunch of a Cavs fan as I am, I've always thought that the Celtics are going to be the favorite going into the Eastern Conference Finals. Should they meet? I think they will meet. Was there any time where that played changes with you, where maybe you thought the Cavs were the favorites?
I mean, I guess when Porzingis was out saying he didn't know what his illness was, because they're going to need him, just like Cleveland will probably need to be fully healthy in order to beat Boston. I think Boston's got to be fully healthy. And I would say that maybe that's probably the biggest development of the last, 2 weeks, is not only Porzingis coming back, but Porzingis has played really well. If Porzingis is going to play at this level, then it's going to be really difficult for not just Cleveland, but anybody to beat Boston, because he just gives, you know, he's basically, Porzingis is a short spurt all-star. Like, he doesn't make all-star teams, but if he was out there every single day, Kristaps Porzingis would probably be an all-star. I think he's the second most important Celtic and probably the third best player on that team. So I think that's a development here that may have, you know, pushed things to Boston's favor a little bit more, combined with Cleveland struggling a little bit over the last week or so.
All right, Justin, what do you make of the campaigning going on from somebody like Draymond Green and the Warriors for Defensive Player of the Year, when we thought Evan Mobley had this thing wrapped up once Wemby went down with an injury? I know you watch the entire league. You pay attention to these things. So what do you make of that race?
Well, that for some reason, I don't know what it is, and I know you guys pay attention as well, that seems to be the one award that everybody has to tell you how they deserve the award. I hear less campaigning for, like, the MVP, which is more important, or, like, all NBA teams than you do for defensive play. It seems like every 2 weeks you got Bam Adebayo saying something. Then it's Anthony Davis always complaining about how he's never won the award. Now you got Draymond Green that's campaigning. I'll give Evan Mobley credit for not being a guy that's done that. We talked to Kenny Atkinson at the All-Star game, and I asked him about this was before Wembanyama got hurt, and my question to him was, do you think it's fair that the media's already wrapped this thing up? Do you think, like, Evan Mobley should still be in the conversation? And he, like, obviously made his pitch for him, but I haven't heard a million people in Cleveland whining about it. The other guy that I wouldn't say that Evan Mobley had it wrapped up, like, prior to Draymond's comments, because the other guy that I would have on that list is Dyson Daniels, who's been fantastic and is shattering all sorts of records from a steals perspective, deflections perspective for an otherwise poor Atlanta defense. So to me, it's a two-guy race between Evan Mobley and Dyson Daniels. And then, you know, you want to talk Draymond after that, you can talk Draymond after that, but I wouldn't have Draymond in my top two.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Does J.B. Bickerstaff, ex-Cavs coach, have a shot as he's gaining ground on the lead that we thought was insurmountable from Kenny Atkinson? Does he have a shot to catch him? Or we played Carlos Boozer audio earlier today about Ime Udoka.
Well, Carlos Boozer also within the last 48 hours said that he thought Nico Harrison was doing a really good job. So I wouldn't be nervous about what Carlos Boozer is saying.
A good job at what?
You know, putting together a roster.
Taking his kids to school?
Dallas.
Like, what possibly
easy.
Could he be doing a good job of in the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, listen, if he's running his family the way that he is with the Mavericks, he traded his kid for a bag of chips,
are they lazy and drinking beer? You know, that's what I want to know.
Exactly. Well, there's too many juice boxes. We got to send Jimmy to L.A. because he's drinking too many juice boxes. He's addicted to the sugar. He's going to be fat and slow, and he's going to tear the family apart. If there was like a 2-year award where it was like over the course of 2 years, I would say Udoka deserves that award. Another guy that's done a really good job is Chauncey Billups, even though they're not going to make the postseason. I would go Kenny Atkinson and J.B. Bickerstaff as the two clear favorites at 1-2. So,
Justin Termini joining us here on the show. All right, I'm going to be the one. Do I have to ask this? You going to make me ask this?
Do I do rock,
you know
scissors,
he's gonna,
paper?
Yeah, let's do rock, paper, scissors. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Ready? Rock, paper, scissors. Say it with me if you're going to do it. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. All right, I'm going to be the one to ask it because I always lose. Is it better for the league if it's LeBron and the Lakers versus the Cavs in the finals instead of Oklahoma City?
Is it better if the Lakers are in the finals than Oklahoma City?
LeBron in the Lakers in the finals against the Cavs instead of Oklahoma City. LeBron and the Lakers.
Yeah, but the question should be, I think the interesting one is it better for the league? You know, because that's clear answer, yes. The better question is it Lakers Celtics or is it LeBron Cavs? Because those, you know, both are probably two dream scenarios, right? So what would the country rather see? What would they be more transfixed on? Would it be Celtics Lakers with the historical rivalry? Plus, you know, LeBron's not necessarily, a fan favorite there in Boston. Or is it LeBron going back to face the Cavaliers? I mean, both those are, I think, can't miss for the league.
I don't want that to happen.
Which one?
The LeBron versus Cavs thing. I don't want it to happen.
Yeah, I don't want to hear. So I'm a Celtic guy, all right? You know, I'm from Boston, etc.
You sound like it.
I would.
You sound like you're an extra in The Departed.
Yeah, thank you. I would root for the Cavs to get all the way to the NBA Finals if it meant that they could. Holy crap! I can't see crap. One second, I'm driving. If it meant that LeBron had to lose to the Cavaliers, I would love to see that.
If the Cavs lost, it would certainly cloud his. I think it would cloud a little bit of his legacy here.
People would dislike him.
To a degree, yeah.
I don't like him anyway already.
I know you don't. You made that abundantly clear.
Justin, people have been asking us, so I will punt to you, a national observer of the game of hoops. Why are people pointing out that the Cavs haven't accomplished anything in the playoffs, but they seem to be ready to crown the Oklahoma City Thunder?
Maybe it's because the Eastern Conference is a little bit easier, that's the only thing I can think of. But you also get these media narratives where people latch onto it. It's I'll ask you one. For months, why is the media constantly saying, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has to be the MVP because he's the best player on the best team? Meanwhile, the Cavs had a better record than Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. How does that make sense?
I don't know.
No, he's the best player on the second best team now since Oklahoma City has overtaken them. But that was a media thing that they kept shoving down their throat. And secondly, if the winning counts for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, why shouldn't it count for Donovan Mitchell, who's running away with the Eastern Conference? And I'm not saying Donovan Mitchell has to be the MVP, but it should be easy that he's the third or fourth or fifth in the MVP voting, and definitely on an All-NBA first team, but it doesn't seem like he's solidified a first All-NBA spot. So a lot of stuff the media says.
I think you know the answer to that, though. I mean, LeBron's 40 years old. We wanted to pass the torch off to Ja Morant. Ja Morant decided to go Wyatt Earp. Then we wanted to pass the torch on to Zion. Zion has his own set of problems, obviously. And now
Zion ate the torch.
I can't say those things. You can.
Why can't you say it?
Because you know what I look like, and I'm not gonna. No, I'm not gonna talk about another man's body.
That's a good point.
Thank you very much. So anyway, I think they're trying to pass off the torch to somebody. We're looking for somebody to be the next big thing. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a guy that kind of fits that mold for people. It bothers a Cavs fan because you got Donovan Mitchell standing right there. Evan Mobley's too quiet right now. You can't put Evan Mobley in that mix. There's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Go ahead and give it to him.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it bothers the Celtics fan to no end as well, right? Because Tatum's clearly the best American right now, and the guy's already got a championship. He plays for the Boston Celtics. He never misses games. He's in big games every single year, and they completely skip over him, so I understand it with them being upset with it. Now, Donovan Mitchell still needs to make a deep playoff run. If Donovan Mitchell doesn't get, I remember at the beginning of the season, he said something about, you got to get to the conference finals. That's no longer acceptable, right? Now we're past that point. You get to the conference finals, you lose. I think that needs to be viewed as a disappointment. So he still needs a deep playoff run on his resume, but so too does Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. It's funny how that works. How can Embiid win the MVP? He hasn't made a deep playoff run. How can, Jokic win the second MVP when he's never been, past the conference finals, where Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has been to the second round, and that's it. He's been to one second round, and yet it's he doesn't have to win in the postseason.
So if they make the Eastern Conference Finals, they lose to the Celtics. That's a disappointment?
I would say so. You're going to win 65-plus games. Now, can you grill them if they lose to the Celtics and say they choked? I don't think you can do that because Boston's a really good team. They're the defending champ. They're the favorite, but I think it's also a disappointment because, you want a championship at this point. And I think it's the same thing in Oklahoma City and in Boston. Any of those three teams don't win, I don't know if you're going to absolutely grill them, but it's also a disappointment. Do you not agree with that? Wouldn't you be disappointed?
No, I would be disappointed, but I think there's a difference in disappointed and a disappointment.
I mean, you're both, personally. But,
excellent.
I would say it's a failure. I wouldn't rip them, but I would also say that it's a disappointment. It's disappointing.
Okay. Justin, thank you very much for the time.
Lima, do you agree with me or not?
Yeah, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
Anyway, the sun was really bad. I hope that, that's how talented I am. I was still able to give you a brilliant interview, even though I was battling the sun.
Talented people don't need to tell everybody how talented they are.
Well, tell LeBron that. He's been doing that for 20 years.
You always turn it back on LeBron. Stop your LeBron hate. Stop your cheap shots about LeBron James. He can't defend himself right now with you.
But listen, I, you know, there's a difference between me and LeBron. I'll rip myself. He won't. So there you go.
Yeah, you're jealous of Stephen A. Smith because he got stopped on the court side and you didn't. I know how it goes. All right, thank you for the time.
All right, farewell.
See you in hell. Justin Termini, SiriusXM NBA Radio, NBA Today. Wonderful guy, I guess.